Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Elisheva Kamenetsky, and today we will be studying Parshat Ve'etchanan. The Parsha is named after the first word of the Parsha, Ve'etchanan el Hashem ve'etahi lemor, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Israel how he implored Hashem to allow him to enter Eretz Yisrael, but Hashem refused, instead instructing him to ascend the mountain and see the land that he will not be able to enter. This is the second parsha of Sefer Devarim, and Moshe continues his review of the Torah. He goes back in history and describes the exodus from Mitzrayim and the giving of the Torah, declaring them unprecedented events in our history. He describes that there has never been anything quite like that, and Bnei Israel have never heard a voice like they heard at Har Sinai, speaking out of the midst of the fire. And yet they lived. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Israel, you were shown to know Hashem, and that there is nobody else who can compete with him in his glory. As the Ramban explained in his introduction to Sefer Devarim, not only does Moshe review past events, but he uses the review as a springboard to discuss Bnei Israel's future relationship with Hashem. Moshe warns that in future generations, the people will turn away from Hashem. They will worship idols, and they will be exiled from their land and scattered among the nations. But from there, they will ultimately seek Hashem and return to obey his mitzvot, his commandments. This section of the Parsha, Parshat Ve'etchanan, Perek Dalet, chapter 4, verses 25 through 40, beginning with the words, Ki solid banim uvnei banim v'noshantem, is actually the Kriyat HaTorah, the Torah portion, for Tisha B'Av, the day that we mourn the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and Bnei Israel being forced from the land of Israel. Tisha B'Av always falls out on the calendar between Parshat Devarim and Parshat Ve'etchanan. Parshat Ve'etchanan is read on the Shabbat that we refer to as Shabbat Nachamu, as we look to be comforted after marking the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The Parsha also includes mitzvot, including the repetition of the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, and the verses of Shema, which declare the fundamentals of Jewish faith, the unity of God, the mitzvot to love Hashem and to study His Torah, and to bind these words as tefillin on our arms and heads, and inscribe them in the mezuzot affixed on the doorposts of our homes. This sefer is Moshe Rabbeinu's parting words to his beloved nation, including words that inspire us today. Let us focus on one idea in the parsha that informs us as to what our mindset should be as we grow in our avodat Hashem, our service of God. In the famous pasuk that we say, as part of the Shema, V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'odecha, we recognize the command to love Hashem with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our me'odecha, which Rashi identifies in a few different ways, but is generally translated as all of our possessions. This pasuk is found in Parshat Ve'etchanan, Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. Rashi comments very famously that when we are told how we should be loving Hashem, we are told it should be b'chol levavcha. And Rashi suggests that the reason why there are two bets in the word levavcha as opposed to libcha is because we are here to learn, based on a comment of the Sifrei, that we are to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shnei yitzirecha, with our two yetzers, with our two inclinations, implying that we should be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our yetzer hatov and our yetzer hara, with our positive inclination and our evil inclination. How is that possible? How could one possibly serve Hashem with our yetzer hara, our evil inclination? Many choose to explain this well-known comment of Rashi by saying that perhaps we should be like David HaMelech. David HaMelech, after all, is described in physical terms in a similar way that Esav is described in the Torah. Both were aggressive individuals who liked to be involved in aggressive behaviors, including war. And David HaMelech managed to channel that tendency, those aggressive behaviors and warlike manners, into fighting wars for God and for Israel. And therefore, there are those who suggest that when Rashi here is teaching us that we should serve Hashem with our Yetzer Hara, that we should take those inclinations which can be used for evil and use them for good, for the service of Hashem. I've always been bothered by that explanation. After all, if one channels their midot, their characteristics that can sometimes be used for negative behaviors, and one channels them to use them for the service of Hashem, then it is no longer a Yetzer Hara. It is no longer an evil inclination, but rather one is serving Hashem with some of his best attributes. The Ksav HaKabbalah teaches us that what is meant here by serving Hashem with our Yetzer Hara is something very, very fundamental. One could believe that the way that we are asked to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe, is to deny any of our inclinations, any of our physical desires that would take us away from the proper service of Hashem and following of Torah and mitzvos. I remember as a young child, we would be traveling on the school bus, and if we would pass a non-kosher restaurant, some of the children on the bus would hold their nose and kind of squeal, "Ooh, that smells bad." In reality, many years later, I found myself shopping with my mother in a mall, laden with packages, barely having eaten breakfast, and certainly not stopped our shopping spree for lunch. It was now 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and as we passed the food court, I remember smelling delicious croissants and feeling myself getting weaker and weaker with hunger, just wishing that I could partake in some of that non-kosher food. The Ksav HaKabbalah suggests that when we think about our Yetzer Hara, that perhaps my draws to eating foods that are not kosher, or to working on Shabbos or using technology on Shabbos, or towards speaking Lashon Hara, using inappropriate speech or gossiping about a neighbor or friend, that we could easily say, "Oh, that doesn't interest me at all," and think that we're truly fulfilling what the Torah expects of us on the highest of levels. The Ksav HaKabbalah suggests that instead of the verb levatel, to nullify, being the goal of our attitude towards our Yetzer Hara, our evil inclination, we should really be considering and thinking about being kovesh, conquering our Yetzer. This is, of course, similar to the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, which teaches us, Eza hu gibor, who is a strong person, hakovesh et Yitzro, he who conquers his Yetzer Hara. The language of that Mishnah is not who is a strong person, he who nullifies, who absolutely wipes out his Yetzer Hara, but rather the person who conquers it. What is the difference between one who conquers and one who nullifies his Yetzer Hara? When one conquers their Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara still exists. It's alive and kicking. And the desire to eat that non-kosher food when you are starving and tired late in the day, or to do something against the Torah because it's truly your desire, it smells delicious, it would fill a need of yours at that given moment, and a person chooses not to do it, that person has been kovesh his Yetzer Hara. That person has conquered his Yetzer Hara. And he has said, "I would like to engage in this behavior. It's not because it doesn't taste good or smell good or feel good or interest me that I'm not doing it. It's for one reason and one reason only, and that is L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven, for the sake of God. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, that is a higher level of service than somebody who destroys his Yetzirah, who has zero interest in eating that food or engaging in that anti-Torah behavior. It's interesting to think about this from a psychological perspective, and it actually reminds me of a famous phrase coined by Dr. Daniel Siegel, a famous author and psychiatrist, where he speaks about the concept of when we are experiencing negative emotions, we need to name it to tame it. If we pretend or suggest that we don't have an evil inclination, that going against the Torah doesn't interest us, doesn't strike our fancy at all in any way, shape, or form, we will actually find ourselves battling that emotion or that desire over and over again. If we name it, that's my Yetzahara, that piece of cake, the tendency to get angry, that is my weakness. Those are my buttons. That's something which I am sometimes tempted to do, to speak that Lashon Hara. We are actually positioning ourselves in a better way to learn to control those tendencies. Because if we pretend or suggest that we are perfect, like a malach, and we don't have a human evil inclination to do things against the Torah and to sin, then we are not being honest with ourselves and not positioning ourselves for the best growth opportunities. Carol Dweck very famously teaches us, when she talks about having a growth mindset, that we need to acknowledge where we are and where we want to be. Maybe I am not somebody who doesn't speak Lashon Hara yet. Yes, I name it. I have an evil inclination. And yes, that naming it helps me tame it, helps me be covetous, helps me conquer it, and helps me day by day become a better person. Perhaps this is the message that Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving to his people in his last days with them. Life will be difficult. There will be many, many challenges. And in this way, you should be like David HaMelech, who acknowledged the challenges in his life, who faced sin and conquered his Yetzer Hara, as is expressed in so many different prakim of Sefer Tehillim. This is an important lesson for us to think about every day as we say Shema. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. We work hard to love Hashem with all of our hearts, with our evil inclination and our positive inclination. Because when we love God despite the odds, even when days are difficult, that's when we show our truest commitment to the Rabbono Shel Olam. The Navi Hoshea teaches us in Perek Yudalid Pasuk Gimel, Kechu imachem dvarim vishuvu el Hashem. Perhaps we can understand this, that we should be taking the lessons of Sefer Devarim, Kechu imachem Devarim, take with you Sefer Devarim, and use them to bring us closer to Hashem, Vishuvu El Hashem, as we move from times of exile to the ultimate redemption in our times. Thank you for studying together with me and the OU's Women's Initiative.